guys, and welcome back to Frances Helena Travels Podcast. I hope you were doing fabulous. And this is so exciting, this episode. Like, this is just so cool. We are here with the fabulous Danielle, who is actually based all the way out in the Caribbean, if I'm saying that right, the Caribbean. And she's on a boat right now, like literally talking to us on a boat. So this is gonna be cool. Hi, Danielle, how are you?
Hi, okay, I'm so happy to be here. So that's quite funny, actually. I'm still logged on to one of my business's Zoom account, but my full name is Vicky.
There you go. That's my fault, guys. That's Vicky. There you go. Vicky, the famous Danielle traveler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Zenial Traveler is a business accelerator that helps people build a remote-based business. But I'm only one of the coaches who work in that company. So there's marketing specialists and business specialists, and I take care of the mindset coaching within that company.
Oh, that's so awesome. That'll be cool. Like, I mean, especially now with like the pandemic, everyone's just like go traveling. I know. I'm like, I want to go somewhere. I haven't been anywhere since 2019. So that's so cool what you do. How did you even end up on a boat though? That's like the coolest thing I've heard like all year. I'm like, oh my God.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Frances. Actually, it's been my dream for over 4 years to live on a boat. So about 4 years ago, I went on a chartered trip to the Bahamas. So I was with the captain on a sailboat in the Bahamas. And after a couple of days, I just knew that this is how I wanted to live my life. I just knew I wanted to live on a boat. So I started taking courses about navigation, diesel mechanic, electricity for boats, meteorology to know how to predict the weather and use the weather to your advantage. And 4 years later, I was finally able to make it happen. So I started to work online, purchased my sailboat, and then flew all the way to the Caribbean to meet my new floating home. And now I've been cruising my boat for a couple of months now.
Oh, that's so awesome. And do you think you'll ever come to this side of the world, to Australia?
I would love to visit Australia. That's a part of the world I've never been to. I don't think I would cross the Pacific, to be very honest with you. The Atlantic, I'm considering it at some point because the Atlantic is about between like the fastest would be 14 days and the longest maybe 22 days. But the Pacific is more like 3 weeks plus, so 21 days up to 40 days to cross the Pacific. So that's 40 days where, you're living on a boat with very limited resources, limited energy, limited fresh water, food, right? Of course, that's not something I would do alone. I would need to have a whole team, a whole crew, but it's just not something I'm attracted to. It sounds like too much work.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like it takes ages, like from where I am in Australia, if you drive to the other side of Australia, it takes like at least a couple of weeks to even do that. And I'm like, no, I'm not driving that far. Oh, but that's so cool. And then what do your family think of you just being on this boat? Like sometimes it must be kind of hard, right? Like it's just you're not got any friends around you or family.
Yeah, that is such a good question. So I became a digital nomad on June 1st. And at first it was like very exciting and all that, and I felt very connected to people. And then when I moved onto the boat, I kind of realized how far I was from my friends and family. And then a couple of weeks later, I kind of created a new community around me. And the cruisers community is just amazing. There's something about sailors, they just stick together, they work together. People are so generous. People will come and give you advice, give you tools, invite you for a happy hour. So I kind of created myself a new family in Trinidad and Tobago. And then sailed from Trinidad and Tobago to Grenada. And then I felt that feeling again of like emptiness and feeling lonely, like I had to say goodbye to all these new friends and kind of end up at the same point. But I do feel connected because of social media to my friends back home. And like I said, the cruisers community allows me to meet new people all the time. which is great. We have this thing called a cruiser's net. So every morning, like on the boat, we have a VHF radio, right? So that when we don't have signal, we can still ask for help, ask the Coast Guard to come get us or tow us if our boat is broken or whatever. So every morning on the VHF radio at 7:30, there's the cruiser's net, and there's like social activities, food markets, tips. If you're selling something, selling a boat part, or if you're looking for an electrician, a diesel mechanic, that will be available to you. So that's a great way to meet new people.
Well, that's
And
so
then,
awesome.
yeah, that's so cool. And then both of my parents visited and crazy, but she's not staying on the boat. She stays in an Airbnb on an island, but she encourages me. So that's great.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really awesome. I love how there's like just a whole nother world on the ocean. Like, I've always wanted to like sail, but I have this little bit of a fear. I think I watch too many like movies or something, but I'm like, oh my God, what if you do, if there's like a storm? And then I've seen documentaries about the Bermuda Triangle, and I'm like, oh, okay, like it's just been interesting just watching it. And it's so, yeah, it's just so cool like what you do. I'm like, oh my God, there's like a just a whole nother world out there. And that's really awesome that there's like a network, that you've got like support out there, because that's got to be pretty hard sometimes mentally and emotionally. So,
100%, 100%, and all those challenges that you're seeing, like a lot of them are true. In terms of the weather, I do have the luxury. I don't have a deadline. I don't need to be at a specific. I'm not delivering a boat, to Europe or anything. So, when I see that the weather is bad, I just close everything and stay inside of my boat and let the bad weather pass. We also waited hurricane season. So, hurricane season in the Caribbean is from May up to November. So a lot of people will just haul out their boat, take their boat out of the water for that season, or stay below the hurricane line, which is below Grenada. So there are lots of ways that you can stay safe, but of course it's important to not have a deadline. Like when I first bought the boat, I remember an older sailor told me, when you invite people over, tell them they can either have a date or a place, but not the two. So you cannot say someone, okay, meet me in Guadeloupe on January 7th. You cannot say that because you can't guarantee that your boat will be there. And when you rush things is when you don't make the right decisions, and then you put your life in danger and your boat's life in danger. So if you want to meet friends, you got to tell them like, oh, meet me around this date. I'll confirm the island when we get closer to the date.
Oh, cool. That's pretty cool. And then, like, how long in general does it take for you to like sail from one island to the other?
That's a really good question. So, the average speed of my boat, and my boat is not very fast. I'm not gonna lie to you. She's steel, so steel is heavy, right? So it takes more strength to get her moving, but it also makes her more solid. So if I run into some corals, for example, it's not gonna break my boat. My boat is gonna corals, or if another boat runs into me, it's probably gonna break the other boat, unfortunately for them. So my boat has an average speed of about 4 or 5 knots. So that's 4 or 5 nautical miles per hour. A nautical mile is about 2 kilometer. I had
Oh,
to sail from Trinidad to Grenada. That was about 75 nautical miles, so about 150 kilometers. That took me about 23 hours, 24 hours
wow.
of sailing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, that's pretty cool. Like I think that's like faster than a plane. Like I know, 'cause we lived and traveled like all over the world, just like me and family and everything. But like going to some places, it just took like an hour or like 45 minutes or whatever. But yeah, oh wow, that's pretty cool. That's a day. That's pretty cool.
It's still much slower than a plane.
Yeah,
Thank you
yeah.
for comparing my speedboat to a plane, though. I'll take the compliment. It's much slower, but it's a very different experience, right, than a plane. And in a plane, you don't have the comfort of having your living room and your kitchen and your bed with you, so that you can go sleep while the boat is on autopilot for an hour or two.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So do you park your boat somewhere, like if you're just gonna like spend the night somewhere kind of thing? So, and it's just there in the
Yeah,
ocean.
100%. So you have three choices when it comes to parking your boat. You can either put it at a dock, So that's the most expensive option because it's going to be in a marina and it's going to have services like shore power, so electricity, fresh water. And then, of course, you can walk onto the dock and go do your laundry and all of that. So you can dock it. You can put it at a mooring ball. So a mooring ball is kind of like a permanent anchorage where they put a cement block and a chain and a buoy. And you just hook your boat to that buoy and then it kind of stays attached there. And then your third option is dropping the anchor. But for that, it needs to be shallow enough, right? I cannot drop an anchor in the middle of the Pacific. That's way too deep. I don't have a long enough chain to be able to anchor there. And I need a soil that allows my anchor to grab. So if it's rocks versus sand versus, mud, so I need to make sure that the bottom of the sea is good for my anchor. And then all those options can cost money or not. So usually anchorage will be free, but you do need to pay a cruiser's permit. So let's say right now for Grenada, I think it was 75 EC, so Eastern Caribbean dollars, which is the equivalent of 36 Canadian dollars or 36 US dollars to have a cruising permit for a month. And that allows me to anchor my boat anywhere I want in Grenada for free.
Oh wow, that's pretty interesting. That's really cool. Oh, nice. And then obviously, like when you go to different countries, it has like what is it? Certain different rules and everything like that for parking the boats and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And fun fact, so when you're sailing, at the back of your boat, there always needs to be a flag of the country that your boat is from. So my boat is Canadian and I'm Canadian. So there's a big Canadian flag at the back of the boat. And up the mast, there's another flag, and that needs to be the flag of the country that I'm in. So when I was in Trinidad, I had the Trini flag flying at the top of my boat. When I arrived in Grenada, I pulled down my Trini flag and I put up a yellow flag. So that means that I haven't done customs and immigration. So then either customs and immigration will come to your boat, inspect your boat, inspect your papers, and then do the customs and immigration, or you have to go to land, go do customs and immigration, pay whatever you need to pay the cruising permit or pay your visa, right? They'll give you your visa, stamp your passports, and then you come back, you bring down the yellow flag, and you bring up the flag of the new country that you're in.
That's so fascinating. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm just learning all about boats. This is so cool. Like that's really awesome. I love that. I would love to change the way. I have a flag collection, so I would love to change my flags like all the time. But I don't know how I do on the water. I'm like, I don't know. That looks a little bit complicated because I've seen people take lessons and stuff. Like I've learned to surf, but that was like a hardcore thing, but I was like, oh, I'd love to learn how to sail, but it just, yeah, I was like, one day we do that.
Yes, do it. Do it. It's so fun. It's so liberating. And it's just, you never stop learning, So try it. Give it a try.
Yes, why not? Do you think you'll ever come back to land like after all this, or you'll just keep going around the planet and see what's out there?
Okay, that is such a juicy question. That's such a juicy question. I don't know yet. I feel like I just started cruising around. Definitely right now, I don't see myself coming back to land anytime soon. I do think though, when I have a family, right? My partner and I are talking about maybe having kids, and then bringing kids into this world is amazing. Like, I meet a lot of cruising families, and the kids are just running around on the beach, and they know all the names of the stars and all the names of the fish, and it seems like such a beautiful childhood. But at the same time, I feel like children kind of need to have some sort of stability and have friends and have a network, and a community and some like routines. Kids love routines and discipline. And I don't know if I'm able to offer proper homeschooling. I don't know if I can offer them the joy of being a part of a sports or a leisure on a weekly basis with friends if we live on a boat and we're constantly moving. So that's been one of my big questions lately. So you'll have to keep following the adventures to know what happens.
Yeah, definitely. And I can definitely relate to that because we spent a lot of time just moving from country to country. Like we started from Hong Kong to Singapore, And then we ended up in, where do we go? Australia. And then we kind of just moved back to Asia. But then later on, we ended up in Mexico, then Malaysia and China. So we were just always, and it was just me. We had me, my mom and dad, and a cat and some birds. So we just, it was just us. And like, we even brought one of our cats to Malaysia, but it was just like, it was so different having to go to school because it was just like, you meet people, but they haven't seen what you've seen, and you can't really explain it to them because it's like they've never seen it. So it was just, it was just so interesting. But then when you meet other people who have kind of lived that similar lifestyle of just traveling, like they understand. But it was like, yeah, I think it took me ages just to be able to kind of make friends and everything like that. And it's, yeah, it's just so interesting. It's just so different, just moving and traveling everywhere, because you just see so many things and experience so many different cultures. And I love it. I was like, oh, I just want to go here and there, and just, yeah, it's just so much fun. And I love the food too. So yeah.
Oh, food.
Yeah,
Yummy. Oh,
what do
that's so cool.
you
I didn't know you were in Asia so much. This is amazing.
Yeah, we just kind of, I don't know, just moved around, and I don't know what we were doing half the time. I'm just like, okay, we're going here now, okay, and then we'll move here. I'm like, all right, just following along. And yeah, but no, it was definitely a amazing experience and everything like that. And I was like, I haven't been to the Caribbean, so it's on my list to go out there and see. Actually, I have a friend in Trinidad, so I'm gonna introduce you to her. She has her own what do you call that? Soaps and things like that that she makes. So she's over there. Yeah, that'll be cool. But yeah, do you have any like tips for people if they really want to take this on? Because I mean, now with the pandemic, it's like everybody's just, gone from the 9 to 5 job to just being like a digital nomad or whatever, they do, and it's all just all online now, and they're just working at home.
Yeah, of course, I have tons of tips. I have tons of tips for people who want to do that. If you have a very big dream, whether it's to work online, to travel, to move on a sailboat, to start a goat farm, I think the first thing you need to do is find someone who's done it and connect with that person and ask them questions. Just don't be afraid of that uncomfortable conversation. Just spot that person. And if you say, oh my God, France is inspires me so much, message her, ask her about her story, how she got started with her podcast and all that. That would be the first tip I'd want to give people. Get really clear on your why. If you read Simon Sinek, Start With Why, a great book, by the way. Get really clear on why you want a goat farm, why you want to start a podcast, why you want to move on a sailboat, why you want to travel, why you want to have a remote based business, because that why is what's going to fuel you and allow you to keep going and stay committed on your goals. So that's the second thing I would say. And finally, get some mentors, get some help. Like I said, I'm a part of Zenial Traveler, which is the name of my Zoom today, which is this amazing business accelerator who helps people create remote based businesses. So get some mentors. It doesn't have to be them. I just know them and they're awesome. And I'm also part of the program, which I mean is a big plus. And just find people who can support you, find people who can mentor you. And once you have all of those keys, then you'll be unstoppable and you'll be able to reach that goal for sure.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, I think the why is like so important, especially like these days. People are like, oh, why is my why? What's my why? Why am I still working this job? Or why haven't I done that? So it's so awesome. And I totally like commend you on just like taking that dream. Like that's just so awesome. And yeah, so how big is this boat though? Is it it's like is it just one like I don't know. I don't actually know much about boats, to be honest with you, so I'm gonna stumble a bit here.
That's perfect. Yeah, so it's a 30-foot boat. So that's quite small for live aboard, actually. There's the cockpit area, which is outside, which I can't show you because it's really dark. It's like 7 p.m. here. But that's where there's the helm, right? So what you use to give direction to the boat. And then there's some benches and there's a nice table we can open up if we're having a barbecue. We have a barbecue outside. And then we have something to protect us from the sun, which is called the Bimini. And on the Bimini, there are some solar panels, which is how we get our energy for the electricity on the boat.
Oh, yeah.
And then right here, right now, I'm sitting in the living room. As you can see, it's very comfortable. Here you have my my library. Oh, my camera doesn't turn because I'm turning my computer. You have all my libraries. That's where all my books are.
Oh,
and
love
then
it.
behind every cushion is all places that you can store stuff, food, or whatever. Oh, I keep turning my computer, but my camera's here. Then I have a little stove. So it's an alcohol stove. So I just put alcohol in, like not alcohol, like rum and stuff, but like denatured alcohol that I can use to cook my food. I have a small fridge and a small freezer. And then, yeah, like we have a nice table here in the living room. We could sit up to 7 or 8 people around it to have a meal. And then there's a small bathroom with a compost toilet. So all of our waste is transformed into compost. And then we have a double bedroom. A double bedroom for my partner and I, and a small closet and some more storage under there. And I forgot to say right now where the fridge is actually on the guest room. So we can have also some guests. Like the guest room is basically storage. So it's pretty small. It's like a tiny house.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's pretty neat. Yeah, that sounds exciting. And have you seen any like wildlife out there? Like, I just love, like, here we have the Great Barrier Reef. So sometimes I'll go out there with some friends. They got it's called Tangalooma. It's a shipwreck that got washed up like years, decades ago. And so you can swim around it, but there they had what was it? I wasn't too sure. It didn't actually come out up into the, you know, to the surface, but I think it must have been like a dugong or something. I'm not too sure. Maybe it was a baby, but I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. So what do you see out there? Like, there must be heaps of things going on in the ocean.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Well, when I was in the Bahamas, there's great snorkeling there. Of course, the Bahamas are amazing, all the corals and everything. There is a plane crash in Norman's Cay, which is the plane of Pablo Escobar. So I don't know if you've watched, I think there were a Netflix documentary about his cocaine trafficking and all that. So we can dive on his plane here in Grenada. There's the Grenada Underwater Sculpture Park, where there's a collection of unique underwater sculptures, and that's a really popular site to dive. I haven't been yet. That's our plan for next week, actually, to go see the statues underwater. And then, of course, what's great in the Caribbean is that you can fish and you can spearfish. So you can go underwater with the spear gun and then get some nice fish for your dinner, cook it on the barbecue, and just eat it here.
Oh, nice. That's so awesome. And do you guys like have or if you know of certain rules, like for example, in Australia, we have a law where it's kind of like depending on the size of the fish, you have to throw it back. If it's a female fish or female crab, you have to throw it back. Is that similar over there?
Yeah, 100%. Each island will have their own rules about fishing and all of that. So yeah, that's part of it. You have to be informed before you fish. Actually, I just learned this week that here in Grenada, I'm not allowed to spearfish alone. I can only spearfish with locals. So that's something that I did not know. Whoopsie. So yeah, you have to ask. Yeah, you have to ask every time when you do customs and immigration, what are the rules regarding fishing? And sometimes there are some protected areas also where there's like water reserve and you cannot fish at all because everything needs to stay in that area. Like you're not allowed to fish or kill animals or pick up plants or seashells or anything.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's really interesting. Love that. Yeah, we got to protect our fish. I was like, some of our fish are starting to become extinct. So yeah. So after Grenada, how long are you planning to be in Grenada for?
Great question. So when we arrived in Grenada, we had some mechanical problems. So my engine started smoking like
Oh.
crazy black smoke, gray smoke, all over inside. All my books, my clothes were like smoked. And we had some water also. So the whole bilge, so the whole like under the floor of my living room where I store all the cans, that was full with water. So I've been trying to fix the boat for the past 2 weeks, actually. And just yesterday, I got the final piece that was missing. So tomorrow, I'm going to try to repair, tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow night, I'm going to try to repair the diesel engine. And then if that is fixed, then this weekend we want to go up to the statues I was telling you about, and then we'd like to sail up to Carriacou, which is another part of Grenada, just another island, and then go up to the Grenadines. And then I'm meeting my mom for Christmas in Martinique, so in the French Islands. So
Oh,
like
fascinating.
that's the plan for this month.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So do you personally fix your boat, or does someone else, like in one of these other countries, like they help you?
Yeah, so I would say half and half. I try to do as much as I can. Like for here, the diesel problem, there's just another cruiser that came by one morning and say, "Oh, I think this could be the problem." He's not a professional or anything, just another cruiser. And then the next day, I went to the back of the engine because the access is kind of difficult, and he was right. So I found all the bolts. Anyway, I found all the piece and I figured out what the problem was. So I'm so happy that I won't need to pay a lot of money for a diesel mechanic. So I think I can fix the problem on my own. But in Trinidad, what I would do is that I would ask for professional. Let's say I needed to wax my boat before I put it in the water. I've never done that before. So I asked a professional to teach me. So we did all the work together so that I could learn so that next year I can wax my boat on my own. So that's kind of what I try to do every time something needs to be done on the boat. I try to watch YouTube videos, ask for other cruisers. Then if really I don't find it, I hire someone and then I do it with them so that I can still learn how to do it.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's probably the best way to learn. I know for me personally, I've always been like someone who just watches and observes, and then that's how pretty much I learn and stuff. Because I've had people like, they try to teach me, but I'm like, I'm not really sure. Like, I kind of like prefer to do it myself and everything like that. So, oh, that's so awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's so exciting to hear about what goes on in another part of the world, let alone on a boat. And I hope your boat gets better. Yeah, but thank you so
Yes,
much,
thank
Mel.
you, Senda.
No
Thank you all for
worries.
having me. Thank you for having me so much. And thank you for your kind wishes. I hope my boat feels better in a couple of days too.
Yeah, no worries. And we're definitely going to keep in touch with you and keep up with you and see what's going on over there. So thank you again. And thanks everybody for listening. We hope you are doing fabulous. And if you want to know more about Vicky, we're going to put her details in the caption below. And you can literally follow her and follow her adventures on Instagram and keep up with what's going on. So thank you so much, Vicky, and you guys stay safe out there. Take care.